Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets. If you don't win your first bet, that's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
AT&T connects an ode to podcasts. Connect the alarm. Change the podcast you stream. Connect the snooze. 10 more minutes to dream. Connect the shower. Lather up with the news. Sports talk, comedians, or movie reviews. Connect with that 3-hour philosophy show. Change the drive into work in traffic so slow. Connect the dishes to voices that glow. Thank you to the geniuses of spoken audio. Connect the stories. Change your perspective. Connecting changes everything. AT&T.
Let's clear out winter and clean up the lawn with Spring Black Friday savings at the Home Depot. Right now, get the Ryobi One Plus leaf blower for just $89 and make your lawn work easier with a powerful 90 miles an hour of clearing power. And with convenient online shopping, you can order on the app, pick up in store, and get outside sooner. Get your yard spring ready with the Ryobi One Plus leaf blower, now just $89 during Spring Black Friday at the Home Depot. How doers get more done.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Hey, what up? I'm Doug Gottlieb, and welcome in. You're listening to All Ball, and this is part three of Mike Procopio. And Mike, of course, was the video scout for Kobe Bryant. And part three, this gets deep into the stuff with Kobe. Pretty awesome. And when we last part two, if you missed it, revolved around at the end Shaquille O'Neal, first time he met Shaq. If you missed that, download part two. But I do want to get to this Kyrie Irving stuff, because at the time that this drops, Kyrie has asked for and received permission to seek a sign-in trade. And to this point, no one has stepped up. And I don't know if he comes with the Lakers, but here's what I can tell you, that we have this tendency to look at players simply based upon their skill. And that's great. Okay. Because in football, that kind of works. In baseball, that kind of works. In basketball, it doesn't work. People ask all the time, and my kids say, well, what do you love about basketball? Every part about it. I love that you have to have five guys actually working together at both ends of the court. And you have to have guys that can come in and that can work with the guys that are already in there. And you have to have a coach who understands how to motivate different people and get them to all play together. And then you have to stop or be better than another team who's trying to do the exact same thing. It's an incredible sport. But if we've learned anything about the NBA, the guys that are the most talented, and really for the NFL as well, the guys that are the most talented, not only don't always win, don't often win. Don't often win. So I think this is a fascinating thought on Kyrie Irving. And a lot of the league seems to be saying, like, you know, thanks, but no thanks. Now, we should factor in that Kyrie Irving, he doesn't just want to sign and trade. He wants to sign a max contract, and then you can trade me. You know, if you said, hey, I'll do a sign and trade, but I'm going to sign for $10 million and be a two-year deal, I'm sure everybody would sign up, a lot more teams would sign up for that. But when you factor in the comments that he made, the NBA is not blind, deaf, or dumb. They heard him say, we don't really need a head coach. They've seen how many times he's been injured. They've watched how many times he's gone off and done his own thing defensively. And they're telling you, no one is saying Kyrie Irving isn't an incredible talent. Nobody, because that would be blasphemy. That would be stupid. He's remarkably talented. But can you win with him? Right? Can you win with him? That's the difference. Can you win with Kyrie Irving? And as much as we could say, well, you know, LeBron won with him before, he did. He definitely won with him before. But they were down 3-1. Andrew Bogut got hurt. Draymond Green got suspended. They both played incredible basketball. They needed a great block shot and an unbelievable three to beat the Golden State Warriors. And LeBron liked it so much, he was the one who said, I wanted somebody else. I wanted the reason Kyrie left was LeBron wanted to replace him after they won a championship. What does that tell you? The best, the most talented players don't always win. And you could even say don't often win. And that, I believe, is one of the telltale signs of what's up with Kyrie Irving. He's unbelievably talented, remarkable, skilled. You don't get that good unless you work incredibly hard. But all that other stuff, whew, that's why it makes it really hard for any of these GMs to say, yeah, I'll sign up for that. All right, let's get to Mike and catch up. Here's part three of my discussion with Mike Procopio.
Whatever happened to Eggie McCray?
He went to, so Eggie, which I was definitely afraid of because he was just this, first of all, he went to a million high schools and like he played for Leo and like he ended up going to, supposed to go to, let me see. He
went UNLV, to right?
Yeah, Redemption Christian, supposed to go to UNLV. He went to Redemption Christian, didn't qualify, went to Dixie, got in trouble at Dixie. And then supposed to go to UNLV, didn't go to UNLV, ended up going to UTEP and finishing up at UTEP. And then, like, I remember, you know, I'm sure you played on a team or two of those, like, those teams that played the college teams in the preseason. I'm saying 800 of them.
I did it, yeah.
Yeah, I did it. BABC had one. We played against, like, UMass and BC and Northeastern. I remember we beat BC. He had like a decent game. And then we go to play Northeastern and I turn around. I'm like, you playing?
He's not there.
He's there. He's eating chickens and donuts. And he goes, now my feet hurt. I ain't playing. And I was like, ah, fuck. And then,
you'll appreciate this. My first team after college was in the USBL.
Sure. Now, I love the USBL. Right?
So they had a team in Enid, Oklahoma.
Okay.
And, Brian Gates was our coach. He's assistant in the NBA.
Yeah. Really, I know Brian Gates. Yeah.
Okay. Sure. And he's like me. He's a grinder's grinder. And he actually, I can't remember there was supposed to be a different coach who was with the Mavericks and he left. I don't know if he didn't get paid like right
Larry
before.
Parker, probably.
No. Mm-hmm. I'll think. Anyway, so, I'll never forget this that my dad told me. I said, Dad, I called him and it was in Enid and Enid was like an hour from Stillwater. And we had five Oklahoma State guys on our team. And I was like the number one overall pick, whatever.
Okay.
And so we had Willie Burton.
Yep.
Ninth pick in the draft, 15 in an NBA game. Okay. We had Bubba Wells, led the country in scoring.
Yep. Right. He was at Snow Valley. So great story with Bubba Wells. Portland used to go to Snow Valley.
Yes.
And they used to put college guys to work as counselors and work them out, draft type guys, like Marcus Fizer and stuff.
Yes.
Yeah, go ahead. So Bubba Wells, go ahead.
Okay, Bubba Wells. One of those guys. LeBradford Smith.
LeBradford Smith, yeah. Notre Dame?
Louisville.
LeBradford
Smith is the one who gave Jordan like 30 or 31.
And then Washington.
And then the reporters made it up like he was talking shit to Jordan.
Yeah.
And Jordan's like, all right, they play back-to-back nights, play in Chicago the next night. And Jordan gave him 31 in the first half the next night, right? And was talking shit to him the whole time. Anyway,
you ever meet Jordan, by the way?
Doug?
Huh? You ever meet Jordan, by the way?
Yes. So my dad was Tex Winter's assistant at Long Beach State.
Okay.
So I met Jordan his rookie year. They stayed at the airport Marriott. Mm-hmm. I mean, this is what the NBA used to be. And he had like the foam headphones on and a cassette player.
Yeah.
And Tex introduced us and we sat down with him and we had like Cokes or something. Mm-hmm. And he was so nice. And he was like, I was a little kid. I was like, what are you listening to? And he goes, nothing. He goes, sometimes I listen to his gossip, but if I have him on, people leave me alone.
Yeah.
If I don't have him on, everybody comes up to you. I was like, that's amazing. That was my takeaway from it. And then I worked his camp after my year at Notre Dame.
What year? I mean, what 90, year was it? Was it 96. In Santa Barbara?
96 in Santa Barbara.
I worked it like 3-4 years in Santa Barbara, and it was phenomenal.
Then like, he was serving drinks at the bar.
I never went. Oh, hey, like some Irish bar, right?
Yes.
Like,
yes.
Oh, hands.
I had no, like, again, but like I was still like, I've been kind of around this stuff, but the social part to it, like I didn't know any of this stuff like existed. You know, I was so focused on basketball. Like, wait, Michael Jordan's serving drinks at a bar. And
so we would go to Snow Valley and the coaches would be like, look, MJ's running his camp down the street. Now, look, the camp is awful as far as the basketball, but MJ plays at night. So we would drive down and we would watch him play. The first year we went, I was working Snow Valley and like Yao Ming, Darius Miles, Jay Williams, Luke Walton. Like he had all these college All-Americans working camp to play at night. And that turned into Doug when I started working it. Like, because George Raveling and his son was running the camp. I was like, George, like, these college counselors don't do anything during the day. Why don't we do stuff like structured workouts like we do at Nike? So we ended up doing the structured workouts. And, oh, fuck, what a great – but the biggest thing from that camp that I took is, like, everybody would ask MJ for shit. Like, shoes, money, whatever, whatever. Like, so I would walk through because, like – throughout the camp, camp's terrible because they're bad players, but they allow you to get one thing signed through with MJ, like early in the week.
And it gets authenticated. I still have my poster.
Yeah,
I have the one where he's dunking at Chicago Stadium.
Yeah, 88, 87, something like that.
Yeah.
And like, so like you get your picture taken. And I remember I turned around and said, MJ and Michael, do you mind if we talk footwork? Because I'm a big footwork guy. And he goes, footwear? And I saw the look in his face like another fucking guy asking me for something. And I'm like, no, footwork. I'll tell you what, Doug, that guy talked to me every night about footwork. Right before the evening session, he would come in the morning and he would come at night. And we would talk for about 3 or 4 minutes. I would always come up to him. He would talk to me about ball placement, jab, reads, fadeaway, like... The guy was a master at it. And talking to Kobe was a little bit more open, but MJ, like as far as being introverted a little bit, yes. But when he spoke, oof, was he really, he was like,
I never forget. I'm playing the first night I'm playing.
Yep.
And I mean, if you look at me, you're like, no fucking chance. Right.
Yeah.
And, but I'd started at Notre Dame. So I had a little, and I'm from West Coast. I had a little swag. Mm-hmm. I was in the second game.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll never forget. Like, I remember I came down the lane. I go past my guy and he's fucking standing there and he kind of just like faked at me and I got rid of that kid quick. And there was like somebody called foul or something a couple plays later. And I was standing next to him and he goes, if you're going to be a pussy, stay out of the game.
Yeah.
And I was like, all right. And so I just hooped after that. And it was really, really fun. But it was basically like, you can't be, don't be fucking scared of me. Like either play or don't play, but don't come out here and frighten because Michael Jordan's out here. And he was, and then, you know, it would, every game was like, and by the way, like I played in the Magic pickup games, which were awful because Magic just called.
UCLA.
Yeah, we just call fouls and make shit up. And
and
like, I get it, you're Magic. And the UCLA guys were kind of dicks, to be honest with you, at the time, because they had it rolling a little bit. But
Jordan, what was that, Doug? Was that like Tracy Murray, McLean?
So that was a little before me. Okay, so yeah. Murray, McLean, Derek Martin, yeah. Madsen, like those guys were awesome.
Yeah.
And
the other guys after that,
the next guys, those are all like my contemporaries. My high school teammates were my AAU teammates were J.R. Henderson.
J.R. Yep.
Just stopped playing in Japan. Now he's coaching in Japan. Chris Johnson, Johnson, who does his own pod. He played, the guys who kind of Charles was cool. There were some of those other guys in that era that actually the team that won it.
Yeah.
Right. In 95.
Tyus Edney and.
Yeah. And Tyus was cool. But there's just look, it was when Magic showed up. He was playing and the UCLA guys were playing. Yeah. And then, you know, some of the other guys. And part of it is also, you mentioned the AU teams. When I grew up, there was like three big AU teams, maybe four. Yeah. Right. And we didn't like each other.
Right. Right?
We played in the same league against each other all growing up. And we didn't, nobody switched teams. Like you didn't like them. Uh-huh. Right. So then all of a sudden now in college, you're being recruited by these guys. Like, well, I don't want to go there. Like Toby Bailey's my rival all growing up. I have nothing against Toby now personally, but they were dicks and we didn't like them and they didn't like us. Like now we're going to play the same college team. Like no way. Like
without question.
So, the thing about the Jordan pickup games were, it was like every game was on repeat where it would be competitive and really fun and up and down. And then you get to like the last couple points and if you weren't on his team, you weren't winning. And it wasn't bullshit. It wasn't like he'd call ball, he'd call foul. He'd just get it. And yeah, you double team him, he'd find the dude or he'd make it turn around, turn the other way and make that fade away. Like it was just every game was on repeat. And it was almost like it was a movie set. But it wasn't. There was no bullshit to it. It was a real game. And it didn't matter who was there. You couldn't stop him when he didn't want to be stopped.
That's the difference between a guy that like, and that's the thing, like at Snow Valley, I fell in love with him. And I'll tell you why. Like, I always thought, look, MJ was fantastic, but I never really broke him down. Like, I always thought he was like Dominique Wilkins 2.0, like a high flyer, much bigger winner than Dominique, of course. But I didn't think about footwork or what he did in the post or anything like that. I knew he shot fadeaways. So my first night at Snow Valley, I'm fucking tired as a motherfucker. We were there from 6 a.m. to fucking 10 p.m. And I think we're just going to bed, right?
By the way, that's where I became a really good ping pong player with Snow Valley.
Snow Valley, of course. Yeah, yep. There you go.
Or the superstar NBA superstar videos as well.
Of course, right? Of course.
Put on in the lobby.
Oh, yeah. And like Herb Livesey, first of all, Herb is any coach or young player should look the guy up. I mean, the guy was phenomenal, but he was a tyrant at his camp. Yes. He would literally like hide in the bushes to make sure you're running offense. And if you fuck around one bit, he'll fucking come at you. So I'm like looking for him. I'm tired. I'm going back and they're like, hey, we're just going to bed, right? And he goes, no. A bunch of our coaches, we're going to go into my room and we're going to break down film of Michael Jordan. I'm like, the fuck are you breaking down like fucking dunk videos? Like, what? No. He goes, none of that. So they had like this like videotape of breakdowns of his jab going right, like setting up his fadeaway, like his mid post game, his low post game, his perimeter game. And I was like this. For like 2.5 hours, I got my note. I remember I didn't even have a notebook at the time. I had something just writing on anything I could write on. And like that dude there's a difference that. And I said, that is the difference between Dominique Wilkins and him. He jumps over that guy. Dominique jumps over people. And this guy actually like has a method to his madness. And then I appreciated him way more in Washington than I did in Chicago sometimes because he had to do that without the athleticism anymore.
Right.
And
right.
He could still get 50 just reading screens and just being smart. And, you know, I talked to Dirk all the time and not all the time, but we like just watching Dirk and talking to him. That's the difference between like a Dirk and a Kristaps Porzingis in the sense that Porzingis could give you 30, 25, 30, but Dirk could carry you throughout a whole season, a whole playoff series. And that's hard to do. And a guy like MJ can do it even at a higher level than that, that those guys that could put you on their back and just be relentless at like winning games and putting them in a position to win. Like, it's just an other stratosphere when you're talking about a guy like Michael and a guy like any other player that could put up 30. There's a difference between putting up 30 and being Michael Jordan, obviously, but unless you're there to see it, like, straight up, it's phenomenal, man. It's phenomenal.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
As we wave goodbye to winter's chill, it's time to give our lawn a little love and embrace the freshness of spring. And guess what? The Home Depot's Spring Black Friday sale is here to make it all a breeze. Snag the Ryobi One Plus leaf blower for just $89 and say goodbye to tedious yard work. With a powerful 90 miles an hour of clearing power, your lawn will look spotless in a flash. And the best part? Thanks to the convenience of online shopping, you can effortlessly place your order via the app, cruise into the store for pickup, and find yourself chilling in your freshly spruced up yard in no time. Don't let this awesome deal blow away. Get your hands on the Ryobi One Plus leaf blower for only $89. Yeah, just $89. Exclusively during Spring Black Friday at the Home Depot. How doers get more done.
Hey, this is Jody Sweetin from the podcast How Rude, Tanneritos. As a nostalgic voice from your past, I'm here to remind you that amongst the stressful and chaotic existence we live in 2024, you deserve to get away. It's time for a vacation, no matter when you're hearing this. And let me tell you how you'll get there. The 2024 Hyundai Santa Fe. Want to bring the family to the mountains with the Santa Fe's available H-Track all-wheel drive? Well, it's got standard third-row seating and available dual wireless charging pads for the kids who just want to stare at their phone and not talk to you. You know what I mean. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
Most overrated player in NBA history.
Oof. Overrated player. Can you give me like five?
Well, I'll give you one.
Okay. Yeah.
I was actually a ball boy for UCLA at times when I was a kid.
Sure.
Because Khalil Hazard was a teammate of mine, travel ball growing up. So Reggie Miller is a great player.
Right.
But he's not one of the 75 greatest players in the history of the NBA.
Okay.
He was third team all NBA twice, I believe.
Okay.
Okay. So when I say overrated, I mean like, I think Damian Lillard's in that conversation as well. Like Damian Lillard's a great player. We're talking the 75 greatest players of all time. You talk about top 10, that's really hard, gets arbitrary at the end, right? Like right. The ones you got in, I struggle with the Wilt and Bill Russell, we didn't see him play.
Right.
You know, like, what do we do with Jerry West? Like, I kind of think you do like 80 on, right? Is a smart way to do it. Or maybe right. Even 85 on, and that's where you get. But when you do 75 greatest to ever play, like, right. How do you do a dude who is third team all NBA twice?
Yeah. I mean, I see what you're saying on that. I'm trying to like just look at a list of guys and just someone that really sticks out.
Like, look at Damian Lillard's a great player. Okay.
Yeah.
He's not better than Steph Curry.
No, he's not.
Okay. So we do all the small guards right now in the NBA, right? If you just do small guards in the NBA, like, or, you know, I mean, is he, you know, Luka's not on that list, but should be, he's going to be, but by the time he's done in like 2 or 3 years, be like, how come Luka's not on that list? Right.
Right. Right.
And he can, you know, I'm not a big Harden dude because he doesn't play defense, but James right. Harden's been a better player for longer than Damian Lillard's been a great player because, in addition to scoring, he's a far better passer than Damian Lillard is. Right. So I would do that. Kyrie Irving, I believe, is a better, he's a pain in the ass. Yeah. He's a better player than Damian Lillard and more accomplished than Damian. My point is, like, I'm not trying to tell you Reggie Miller sucked. I'm not.
No.
He's a great player.
Right.
But if the game has been played for 75 years, we just take the last 75 years, and he was only third team all NBA twice, it just doesn't, there's no way you can equivocate that he's one of the 75 best players in the NBA when he was never considered one of the 10 best players in the NBA when he actually played in the NBA. That doesn't make sense.
Was Scotty a little overrated to you?
Yes. Yes.
Yeah.
So Darius, you know Darius Rucker is Hootie the Blowfish?
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
Okay. So
I got a great story. I got a great Darius Rucker story, by the way, but go ahead.
Go tell me the story. Then I'll tell, cause I know his take anyway. Go ahead.
So like, so I go, right before Gert's camp, I went with, Rick Carlisle. Rick Carlisle's got a place in South Carolina. And, like we go to, he's playing a concert at this tennis spot in South Carolina. So we go, because I'm a huge Hootie and the Blowfish. Like, River Crack View got me through. I remember doing those 11 weeks of camp and not really seeing my family, and I was struggling with it. And I would listen to that, like, repeatedly. And so we go to his concert. I have, you know, they got his credentials and stuff because Rick knows him. So I go, and all of a sudden, like, we're there after. I don't really know what to do. I'm just sort of hanging. And I have my credential. I'm already in a spot. I'm just waiting for Rick to come out and go. And like his dad, Darius Rucker's dad is there. And he goes, oh, I can't get there. I don't have a credential. I'm like, fuck, take mine. So I took it. And somebody was like warning us about 20 minutes later. Oh, by the way, Darius's dad is looking for credentials and no one give him one because I don't know if they had a thing or whatever. And here I am, fucking gave it to him like 20 minutes before. I said, Rick, I gotta get the fuck out of here. Carlisle was like laughing. He goes, only you, bro. He goes, only you. And so there's my Darius Rucker story. But go ahead.
All right, so here's my Darius Rucker when I first met him story. Okay.
Yeah.
So I'm at ESPN. I don't know. I've probably been there 7 or so years. And 3 years in, I got an afternoon radio show.
Sure.
And look, I'm fully okay with, I understand where I stand in the whole spectrum of things. At the time, Mike and Mike was the biggest show.
Yes.
On radio. And then there was Dan Patrick and Colin Cowherd. Those are the big three. Everything else kind of didn't matter. So that's how you kind of, that's kind of the mentality that you're kind of like, hey, those are the shows that matter. Yours doesn't matter.
Right.
So I play pickup ball at Conard High School in West Hartford every Saturday with a bunch of high school coaches and a bigger dude about like 6'3", 6'4", got a nose like sideways, right? Not great feet. And he'd come and play. And he was like the greatest guy to have on your team because he set unbelievable screens.
Yeah.
So afterwards, I was like, you know, you're sitting there taking off your shoes. Hey, man, what do you do? He's like, oh, I run the concert venue at Mohegan Sun. I used to be a boxer. So we started with boxing. We do concerts. I was like, no shit. Yeah. I say, like, hey, can I get your number just in case, like, just a show? Hey, no problem. So I happened to go home and look up and like, Darius is opening for Rascal Flatts.
Oh, okay.
And I was like, I like Rascal Flatts, all right, but I love Darius Rucker.
Without question.
So I call him. I was like, hey, my man, Darius Rucker's coming in like 2 months. Could I get some tickets? And, you know, like, I don't want to do the meet and greet, but if I could just go and shake his hand, like, that would make my world.
Right.
He's like, no, he's like, let me see on the Darius part. No problem. The tickets. So we go down there, and, you know, for the opening act, we're sitting, And it's where the Sun play, Connecticut Sun play, right? In the Mohegan Arena. And so he's at the end and we're sitting in the first level of seats. And right before the last song, he's like, "Hey, it's great to be back in Connecticut. My guy, Eric Casilius is here. I've co-hosted Mike and Mike with him. Shout out to everybody at ESPN." And then he goes, "And hey, Doug Gottlieb is here. You guys listen to Doug Gottlieb?" I listen to Doug Gottlieb every afternoon when I'm picking up my kids from school.
No kidding.
Like, he goes, "I literally listen, and it's awesome to have him here." And you know, I'm getting elbowed. I'm like, "I had no idea. It's unbelievable," right? I'm like, geeking out. So then my buddy comes out and grabs me as he's singing his last song. And I'm like waiting out there, you know, like fanboy. And he's like, "Buddy will be out in a second." I'm like, "Fuck's Buddy?" Buddy's this like little swole up black dude who's his bodyguard.
I think I met him. Yeah.
Greatest dude ever, right? And They called him Whitey at the time because when Darius co-hosted Mike and Mike, it was like Thanksgiving time, and they did a pumpkin pie or sweet potato pie. And Buddy was like, "Well, pumpkin pie." And they were like, "Dude, no black dude should ever say pumpkin pie over sweet potato pie. Everybody knows that pumpkin pie is for white people.
And sweet potato pie is for black people." That's why they called him Whitey.
So they started calling him Whitey. Anyway, so I go back there. So he's like, "Deal, see you now." So I go back and I was like, he's like from the back of his like big dressing room, he's like, "Doug." I'm like, "Darius." It's like, "Hold up, my man. Come sit down. I got money on Lakers Suns in the halftime line." Okay? I took the over. It's 102. Hold up. Mm-hmm. It's going to be close. Right. Mm-hmm. And since then we've been really good friends. I come to a show. He's an amazing, amazing dude. So, and I don't know if Darius is going to get mad for me telling this story, but one time we're talking, we're having beers, we're watching, I think Lakers Thunder in the playoffs in his tour bus, also Mohegan Sun. And he goes, "Scottie Pippen, most overrated player in NBA history." And I go, "Thank you."
Yeah.
Now look, I love Scottie Pippen. I love the Bulls.
Yeah.
But like, dude, Scottie Pippen was a really, really, really a great role player.
Yeah.
Right. And everybody says, "Well, hey, the first year without Jordan, they were like, yeah, okay.
I don't want to hear that shit. I don't want to hear that dumpster fire.
Yeah. And the second year they were a dumpster fire. And then we're not taking into account everything else that was going on in the Eastern Conference.
Yeah.
You know, and the fact so my thing is, I would agree with you. I think he's the greatest role player of all time. He was the perfect fit for how they played defensively. Mm-hmm. He didn't have the right ego. And what's happened is because Jordan told the truth about him, mm-hmm. Jordan, I think, oversold who he was, right? Mm-hmm. And that Jordan, first he told the truth, like, "Hey man, he quit on the team. He was all bent up about the contract. He should have got surgery early." And so, you know, to balance it out, he's like greatest teammate I ever had, blah, 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 right? Like, he's a great player. Darius and I would agree with you. Now, my thing for Darius, and he'll never tell, but he told me who it is. I said, "Who's the Scottie Pippen of music?" He's like, "Oh, ooh, shit, I got that one for right."
I can't tell you that.
Who's the guy who rode the coattails of somebody really, really good? Anyway, your Scottie Pippen is, or you want, you go on.
No, I would say Scottie Pippen. Yo, like, I would say Bill Walton because of his injury stuff, but like, I think people like overrate him because I think they want to see what he would have been without injury.
Right.
But I think that.
But he was an MVP before injury, but that's.
Yes. And that's why I don't think he's overrated like that. I think that Scottie Pippen being. Like everyone thinking like he's in the top. Sometimes you hear about, again, I don't care, but sometimes you think about being him in the top 30 players. Are you fucking kidding me? Like you got to be able to carry a fucking team. Barkley could carry a fucking team.
Yes.
Karl Malone, carry a team. Clyde Drexler, carry a fucking team. And I think in Ray Allen before he.
And carry a team to success.
Yes.
Carry a team to success. It's carry, one thing. So I think to carry a team to success.
Yeah. And I don't think Pippen can do that. Was he a great defender? Yes, for sure. Like Kobe would study films of him defensively. Like, you know, much respect on his defense, but as far as carrying a team to success, I don't think he did. Nah, fuck that. So I don't think and then him just like, he did sort of quit. And MJ is going to protect people to a point, but he's going to tell you the truth. And, you know, that's what he did. He told the fucking truth.
And can you imagine though, like a dude, like he, the idea that you would not want to go into a game at the end of a playoff game because the play wasn't drawn up
for you. Look, be pissed all you want. I get it. You're a competitor. But competitors, they have to draw the line. Is my actions fucking my team up? And if you know it's fucking your team up, yet you continue to do it, then you're fucking selfish. You're selfish. I don't give a fuck that you're mad at that point. You check yourself out of a game. Again, we talk about the Rondo thing. That's wrong for sure. Because you're asked to be in a game and you check yourself out. That is not right for sure. And he did that and he broke a fucking code. And he is the most overrated superstar I've ever seen in my life. Now,
it's a great. Have you seen Chet Holmgren?
Yes, I have. And I'm not buying. I think he's one of the most skilled big men I've ever seen. But that body, to me, I'm not a doctor at all. But those legs, forget about the upper body, because like Durant had a really skinny upper body when he came in. And through strength and maintenance, he's figured out how to be strong enough to be a great NBA player. The legs, to me, you know, you saw the same thing in Porzingis. And Porzingis works his fucking ass off in the weight room to try to get big. But when those legs are that skinny, it takes me back to Sam Bowie. It takes me back to a lot of stuff. And again, I don't have no crystal ball. I'm not a doctor. I have no idea, but I am not buying that. I would probably take Jabari Smith. I'm not a huge draft guy. I'm not studying it, but from what I see, I like him. And the Pablo guy.
Paolo.
No. Yeah. It reminds me of like a, plays for Philly from Tennessee.
Tobias Harris
a little bit. No, but again, bigger. Maybe I'm wrong. Bigger. Yeah, bigger. Like a bigger. Scorer could play three, scoring could play
machine.
Four.
Scoring machine.
Really score.
Pace up four.
Yeah.
Scoring machine. And you know, and I think the risky pick is Chet, which I'm with you. Like I sat next to a pretty well known GM. I'll text you who it was.
No, don't worry about it. Don't worry about it.
And he goes, he's a fucking hunchback.
Yeah.
And he's like, I've never seen a hunchback. And he goes, and his shoulders are this wide.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know how you, I don't know enough about strength, you know, but how do you get a guy's shoulders wide? Like, can he play five at that spot? I don't know. Can he play four? Yes, he's skilled, but like, yeah, there was a lot of Porzingis. There was some Porzingis talk.
Yeah.
Jabari checks the list of, you know, dad was a player. Dad is, his mentality is great. He wants the ball in big spots.
Yeah.
He loves to get to those elbow ISOs. He's versatile. He likes to play defense. You know, he settles a little bit too much for jump shots instead of getting nasty and getting downhill.
Will he play big or will he play more perimeter, in your opinion? Or does it even matter?
Two through four.
But it's not like Bam Adebayo where he's like a four that could step out and play. He's a three. Like you think he's more 2-3 than 4-5?
Yes. Yeah. No, he's okay. He'll play in the post. He plays at the elbow. Mm-hmm. I mean, he's like a modern. That's what a 6'9" modern
player
plays like. You know,
sure.
He checks all those boxes, and he's a year younger than Paolo.
Yeah.
So that I think helps him. Chet's the hard one, and then you got Jaden Ivey, who's just a freak athlete.
Yeah.
Has a weird persona. Kind of a weird.
I watched him at Purdue. I thought he was good, but when people were talking about inklings of a first pick in the draft, I'm like, I didn't see that. But in these drafts, Doug, to be honest with you, you want to come up with a player that's not going to fail, that'll have a chance to be a starter, chance to be a top three guy, because there's not a lot of these guys that are like bona fide number ones in every draft anymore. So it's like it's hard to pick. But
I'll give you a guy you'd like, and obviously Keegan Murray's the guy that you'd
really, for sure. Yeah. I like Keegan Murray.
Kind of a Sam Perkins sort of game.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And he's not a guy with a lot of shit to him, right? Like in terms of like he doesn't overhandle it. Like he catches, he shoots it, he goes, he pulls up, good teammate. I don't know. He's probably not the ceiling of a Ivy if he hits, or of a Chet if he hits, or a Jabari if he hits, but like that dude's gonna be 15 and 8 in the league and maybe on the right team, 20 to 22, you know, if he really keeps getting it going, because he also keeps improving as well. So that's one that, in terms of the style of basketball and the brain, the efficiency, and the dad was a player and being a grown up, like all those things he's got.
It's all good. And these teams gotta, because look, 25 of these teams have no fucking chance, right? 24 of these teams. So like the only thing you have is player development and player evaluation. Like I read this book, Dollar Sign on the Muscle, was about a baseball scouting book about the Phillies scouting department in the late 70s, early 80s, like Schmidt and all those guys. And it was fantastic to me how they talked about how important talent evaluation and player development was even back then. And it got me thinking about NBA in college, especially, but college being all this transfer portal bullshit, like it's hard to really develop a team, but you got to be able to get into a gym as an organization and pick out talent and then be able to keep your head above water, keep on hitting these drafts. And then maybe put yourself in position where if you have cap room and the right guy says, you know what, they're a winning team, they've got all these winning players, let's go. That's what you do. But all these fucking teams fuck this thing up. Either their player development, usually their talent evaluation is decent, but the player development is fucking usually a nightmare, you know, and that's where these fucking guys drop the ball, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. Hey man, I really, you've been more than gracious with your time.
Appreciate
you. Again, how can people get your service in terms of for you to do that, the scouting for them?
Yeah, throw me an email, mike@hoopconsultants.com, social media, Hoop Consultants. Go to my website, Hoop Consultants, www.hoopconsultants.com.
Have you saved those Kobe emails? Do they still
I do, them? And nobody will ever read them, but I thought there was about like 1800, there's like 5,000 emails, and just reading, first of all, brings me to tears almost every time I do it. Second, it's just like talking about things and talking about players. And like, I remember once, I remember once he emailed me back on something, and like he had an unbelievable game, and he told me that was out of Oscar fucking Schmidt's playbook. I mean, dude, the guy, like we would like sit. I remember one of the last times I was with him in 2011, and he flew me out because Mike Brown just took over the team. It was November. It was right before they broke the stoppage of play. They had the work stoppage. They had strike, right? The lockout. And he wanted to go over A, his film, B, go over like Mike Brown's playbook of that like San Antonio shit. And, you know, like we would sit for hours. First of all, he played me the piano, which he self-taught himself, and I do believe it. And then like he would be, oh, I got a great one for you in this story, in this trip. So like we would talk about players for hours, talk about the game for hours, talk about God, Sham God, talk about like Lamar Odom, Tracy McGrady in high school, talk about these role players on top of talking about great players like AAU, like, you know, Sonny Hill in Philly, talking about like all this KMC 76ers when they had like, what's his name from KC? They had like Corey Maggette. They had, who's the fucking guy that came out from Hargrave, never made it, the big guy, 6'7".
Corleone Young?
Corleone Young, like those teams. Like he just wants to talk that. Bob Gibbons, yeah. Like Tom Konchalski want to talk about. Like the guy was phenomenal. Also on that trip, so he brought me out. I broke down all his film, talked about Mike Brown, talked about playbook. Worked him out. He tried to take me to some places in Irvine to work out. They had all these cages in it. I said, KB, we can't fucking work out here. They don't even have corner shots. I don't even know what is it?
Momentous, I think.
Maybe. And I was like, we can't.
You call it Misty May. It's got like a million courts.
Not even courts. They're like cages. It's weird. Like it was in Irvine. We left right away. He goes, all right, we can work out at the JCC. And this is like,
that's literally where I coach kids at now.
So here, you'll love this one. Social media was just coming out then. Like Twitter was there. Actually, that week was the famous week where he started his account, tweeted one thing and fucking deleted his account until a few years back. But so he goes, we're going to work out at the JCC. I say, KB, Are you out of your fucking mind?
No, nobody bothers you. Nobody actually knows that place exists.
Did it? I said, I guarantee you we'll be on TMZ. He goes, Mike, that's fucking preposterous. We're not. So we pull up in the back. They obviously like gave him like carte blanche. We go in. They carved out a court for us and we start shooting. And they just had a league game or something that day. So I said, KB, we're going to be on TMZ. You fucking watch. He goes, Mike, no fucking shit. So we work out. The next day, me and Grover, he put us up at Pelican Hill, by the way.
Sure. That's where he lived.
The fucking nicest place in the history of fucking mankind. And so we're at breakfast, me and Grover, and all of a sudden it hits Twitter. TMZ link, Kobe works out with the Jews. So it has Kobe, the yarmulke and hat, and it's got a fucking, like, the Zagruder film from fucking JFK of me working him out. And it's like this, like, yeah. Look it up. It's like me rebounding for him and him fucking shooting. We were warming up. And some like soccer mom took it on her phone back then. It was fucking hilarious. But
here's mine real quick on him. So, So I tweeted something because he did the I Can't Breathe. And I was being a smart ass asshole like the rest of us. And I was like, you know, Kobe had tinted front windows. So in California, you can't have tinted side windows.
Sure.
He had tinted front windows. And first time I met, when I first left ESPN in 2012, I moved out here and I didn't know he lived that close. I'm at Starbucks and he rolls up and like, he's literally behind me in line at Starbucks.
Yeah.
And I was like, hey man, you know, and then our kids went to the same school for a little bit. So, so I tweeted something like, I mean, cause as you know, he kind of, the cops protect him from everything in Orange County, right? Like he's Kobe.
Story. We were doing about 120 coming back from a dinner and we got pulled over. Like literally the guy was doing this in front of us to get us over, pulled us over. Kobe, like, hey, finds out it's Kobe. Kobe says, hey, I'll grab you a package. I'm sorry, man. Like sent him shoes, tickets, whatever.
Totally. Fuck right.
It. Yeah.
So my thing was like, bro, like you live behind gates and Pelican and you're, I Can't Breathe. It's like, fuck the police. Right. So I got called like the worst. Keith Olbermann said I'm the worst person on earth because of it or whatever. So I felt bad just because, like, I don't know, you know, just talking shit. Yeah. So I sent a text to Rick Bucher because I didn't have Kobe's number.
Right.
Bucher's and as you know, as you have said, Kobe, the whole thing with Kobe is like he just liked guys that didn't fucking bullshit him because everybody else just, you know, did whatever he wanted. So I sent a text. So he gets me Kobe's. I go, can you find out if it's cool if I text Kobe. Yeah, no problem. I text him like, hey, man, send some out on social media. You know, I don't think it come across the right way. He's like, I don't give a like, I don't give a fuck.
Yeah.
We're good. And like, black fist pound. I was like, all right. Yeah. So then fast forward a couple years. So I moved back to the East Coast for CBS. I moved back out here. And I start, kind of restart my own program. And our kids, are going to the same schools. And I had seen him and stuff. And the cool thing about the school that they basically helped rebuild the school was nobody messed with him. Like he was just Kobe. Yeah. Like he with the kids, you know, and the kids would come up to him, but nobody's like coming up to him like autographs or hanging around him. He was just got to be a regular dude.
Yeah.
So he starts texting me like clips of Gianna's team and drills and hey, do you like this? Hey, because he knew my dad. Coach Tex.
Sure.
We start sending clips of different. So he's like, hey, we got to get together. So we had a night at Javier's, his spot, you know,
Newport Beach. Yeah.
And just stories. And it's the same thing. Like the guy's level of intelligence and recall. And I have really good recall was amazing.
Yeah.
You know, not just games, but what he's doing now. And you save the emails. I wish I would have saved the text. Because I literally have probably, if I went to AT&T, 200 texts between the two of us sending videos of little kids, drills and offense and scores and shit.
Yeah.
Right. Which is like it's the most bizarre stuff. Like you would never think that a guy would be that engaged. And he really was. And he was like, here's the rebound screen cut. And I was telling him like, why are you running that triangle bullshit? Nobody runs that anymore. You know?
Oh, no, Hey, Doug, he hated the fucking triangle. He goes, Mike, You know how many years that took off my fucking career? Because you literally have to isolate, even though there's a lot of cutting and stuff, you have to isolate. And like, I want to come off pin downs. I want to read screens.
No, it's all about isolation and spacing, right?
Yeah.
But all the movement is set based upon where the next pass goes.
Imagine him in split action. Imagine him in Golden State split action, yeah. Like what he could do. And look, for young players, this is the thing that really set me apart with Kobe. So I'm coming to Irvine to work him out, and I'm watching him. And I said this story a bunch of times, so it's not like the first time I'm saying it. He does this move 11 times in like 3 games, in and out, crossover, step back, and pull up fucking jump shot. So like, I hate that shit. I fucking hate isolation basketball. So it's like at the end of our workout, it's probably like we did about 2 hours, last 10 minutes or 5 or 10 minutes, I say, AKB, let's go that in and out crossover step back. We did, I think we worked out at Equinox in Irvine.
Yeah.
And he goes like in and out crossover step back. And he goes, Mike, I don't work on that bullshit. I go, KB, you literally did it 11 times in 3 games. It's almost unheard of for a move. He goes, Mike, here's the thing. The game is reactionary. Okay. Right. I master the in and out layup, the in and out jump shot, the crossover layup, crossover jump shot, the step back jump shot, step back, pull in front layup. He goes, I want to kill him on the first move. How the fuck can I work on a move with 3 counters to it if I don't know how the defender is going to react to the second, to the first thing? This is why players are fucked up these days. Even young players that play with me on the Lakers, he goes, they want to work on this shit, but they don't know how the defender reacts to the first thing. You kill them with simplicity. You kill them with the in and out. If they don't go, you go to the layup. If they cut it off, you do something else. And then if they cut that off, you do something. It's all reactionary. So yeah. Why the fuck would I work on that? And he goes, I don't work on any bullshit ball handling. We do this ball handling routine where, and I'll send it to you for your kids program. It's all stationary. It's like, he goes, look, I don't care about moves. I want to be a strong ball handler to build the strength up in my functioning muscles that handle the ball, to put the ball where I want it, when I want it. So if I have to go between the legs, I didn't work on between the legs, but I'm strong enough with my hands and forearms from pounding the shit out of it, different directions. And I could just do it without even thinking about it. And for young players that work on all that bullshit that's pre-scripted, how the fuck do you know if the defender is going to react to that in a certain way to go to that next counter? Like, you don't know. And that's what he fucking mastered. And then that whole, I mean, one of the weirdest things he ever asked me to do, it was like game 5 of the finals. It was 3 a.m. I wasn't staying at the Ritz or the Four Seasons where they were staying in Boston. Me and Grover were like in the Park Plaza, like down the street. So we didn't have iPads back then. I mean, I had it. He didn't. So I would go back and forth to his hotel room when he wanted me to do stuff and like get certain clips and things. He wanted me to break down and send him diagrams of the Princeton offense. I said, KB, it's game fucking 5 in like 12 hours from now. No, actually like 9 hours from now, where it's like 4 a.m. What the fuck are we doing right now? He goes, you guys run the triangle. He goes, I know, but I think there's a variation we could run and this and that. I'm like, you're fucked up, dude, but I'll do it. And I remember just trying to find it. And then right after that, he goes, I want you to look up this game in like 2001, Tracy McGrady, third quarter at Detroit. He did this move in the mid post that I want to fucking work on tomorrow and shoot around. And I'm like, dude, what the fuck? There was no synergy back then. So I had to like, I don't know how the fuck I got. I mean, the guy was mine like a steel trap, man. And he's phenomenal, dude. He had the approach of a 13th man, yet he was one of the best players of all time. And they got players today just don't understand. Like he told me, look, you know what the biggest scam going is? Mamba mentality. And I go, okay. And he goes, because I can't turn this shit off. He goes, I wake up with that. Right. I see you, and you get a thousand.
It's also everybody, they use it for whatever they want to use it for. It's like,
no doubt.
Jason Tatum thinks mom mentality is give me the ball and get out of the way. I'm going to make a bucket. Like, yeah, except here's the thing. The guy studied everything on film, but also at both ends of the floor.
Yeah.
Right. And even then, Kobe wasn't easy to play with. Like,
look, he's not easy. He wasn't easy to play with. God bless him. But like, his point was, you're going to have all these players tweeting this stuff out. And then, like, even when they do it, they have to have so much energy to do it for an hour.
Right.
I'm cursed with it. I can't turn this shit off. And he goes, and people are going to be scamming like they have it and they don't. And like, yeah, it's a great thing and all that. But like, I just can't turn it off. That's just me. And just like Bird couldn't turn it off, all these guys, like, he can't turn it off. Yeah. And he goes, it's the biggest scam going, because like, that's me, and everybody's else going to try to be like that and have to put so much energy just to do it for 30 minutes. Or they'll have people tweeting it out that they're in the gym and they're not in the gym at 5 a.m. And I'm actually in the gym at 5 a.m.
Right.
Fucking nuts, man. Nuts.
So, all right, you're the best. Have a great day. I appreciate it. And next time you're here, we're getting together for a
minute. Oh, yeah, for sure. And by the way, did you used to play at those Laguna courts?
Yes.
We just went to the beach. Like, so I did some work for Rep One, working out guys for the draft. And my family came out to visit me the last week. So we went to all the beaches. We love Newport, but like, we went to
Newport has about 38th Street. That's where we used to play out. It's full court.
Yeah. Cause Laguna only has those three half courts, right?
Yeah. Yeah. They redid them and people don't play there as much as they used to. Whatever.
I saw some guy doing suicides there when we were there. I have a picture of it. I'll send it to you. It's fucking great. That beach is not, it's not, I love that part of, you could keep LA. Manhattan Beach is the only thing that I'll keep out of LA, but that section.
No, Kobe's the one, he actually was the one who figured it out, right?
Yeah.
Like,
oh yeah.
Get down there and people leave you, for the most part, people leave you alone.
Yeah.
And you know, there's a reason that the taxes are so high.
Oh, no fucking question. No doubt.
All right, brother, you're the best. I appreciate you.
Appreciate you. Thanks, bud.
All right.
Later.
Wow, that's three parts in a really, really good series. My thanks to Mike for all of his time and all of his efforts. If you missed any of it, download it. Part one, part two, part three. Remember to download, write a review, rate, subscribe, do all that stuff. Thanks so much for listening. I'm Doug Gottlieb. This is All Ball.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only, must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
What do the most successful growing businesses have in common? They're working together in Slack. Slack is where work happens, with all your people, data, and information in one AI-powered place. Grow your business in Slack. Visit slack.com to get started.
Get in zone, AutoZone.
Welcome to AutoZone. What are you working on today?
My car really needs a wash.
The $20 Meguiar's bundle includes Gold Class Car Wash for a showroom shine.
And what about my tires?
Just spray the included Hot Shine tire coating and you're all set.
The inside is not great.
No problem. The quick interior detailer in the bundle can help with that too. Restrictions apply.
You never want to find yourself out on the water fishing without the essentials. So it's best to always pack a Columbia PFG Solar Stream Elite hoodie to protect against the sun. I mean, it provides great protection and it's really breathable so you don't get hot. That's a win-win. Columbia PFG has a lot of great gear. So before you head out on the water, head over to Columbia.com/PFG to shop their performance fishing gear.